Tips from the Top Floor, show number 60, October 12, 2005. And on today's show, we look at post-processing astrophotography images.
Podcasting for the digital photographer.
Hi, Chris. I was going to drop you an email to tell you how well done I think that your Tips from the Top Floor podcast is, but it seemed more appropriate to just send an audio clip instead. Though I work professionally with film and digital, I can certainly validate that the tips you give on show are both comprehensive and extremely well advised for many levels of photographers, not just necessarily the beginners. I love the format of the show, the music you play, and the upbeat manner that you deliver everything in. And most importantly, I think that the 10-minute length that you've chosen is perfect. Many more podcasters should really pick up on this, because 10 minutes really is the maximum amount of time to tie up somebody's attention with. So, Chris, here's my promo for your show. My name's Arthur Seltzer. I photograph professionally in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and I'm listening to Tips from the Top Floor.
This is Tips from the Top Floor. And here's your host, Chris Marquardt.
Hello and welcome to Tips from the Top Floor, show number 60. After two shows, actually two sound-seeing shows on astrophotography, now here's the third one in that series, and we are about to look at the post-processing of these images. But before we get into that, let's do a bit of housekeeping. Well, first of all, Yahoo has just released their new podcast directory, so listening to your favorite podcasts is now also possible through Yahoo. You can find the directory at podcasts.yahoo.com, and of course, Tips from the Top Floor is already in the directory. It's pretty well made, and looks like, yeah, it's gonna help bring podcasting even more into the mainstream, so that's a pretty cool thing. If you like the show, I'd be happy if you could write a small review about Tips from the Top Floor and rate it on Yahoo. This way you can help to keep Tips from the Top Floor on the radar. Thank you very much. The silence assignment is coming along nicely too. Listeners have submitted almost 30 pictures so far, and it's still open until October the 16th. If you want to participate too and submit your interpretation of silence, just click on the link on the website at tipsfromthetopfloor.com, where you can upload your image. And don't be shy, and don't forget to check out the gallery for previous assignments. We've had assignments for so many different things now: motion, contrast, summer, black and white, and all of them have received so many creative pictures and comments and everything. So I'm really looking forward to what you'll come up with for the silence assignment. And as we speak, I'm, by the way, getting ready to be interviewed for another podcast. And this time it's not a podcast of Franklin McMahon, but someone else. And I'll let you all know once it's on the air and point you to it. Well, and here we are for today's photography topic: post-processing astrophotography images.
Tips and tricks from the top floor.
Okay, and while you listen, I think it makes sense to go online, to click on the gallery, the show images, and view along while I talk about the images, because I have documented things step by step, and I should really make it easy for you to follow along. So let's see, post-processing. First of all, I'd like to take a look at the moon picture that I posted with the last sound-seeing tour about taking pictures of the moon. And on the first image, you'll see Well, basically the full frame image. This is about the size that I got with my 640mm equivalent telephoto lens. And you see, the moon is not very big. So, if you want to get the moon into the picture much bigger, you'd better get a longer lens. I mean, you might want to go something like 1,000mm. But given the big resolution of today's camera, and mine has 8 megapixels, there's a lot of space for cropping. And that's how I get it so big. So if you go to the second image, basically that shows you the crop that I chose. And I chose to take this off-center and hide part of the moon to emphasize the border where the Earth's shadow shows. This is, well, basically a rule of thirds crop. And going to the next picture, this is the processing I used on it. Now, I'm using Photoshop for this. It's what's called the curves tool. And it can help you to emphasize, well, it can help you to change contrast on pictures and just change the way brightness is distributed in the picture. So this curve will increase the contrast. It's a so-called S-curve, which basically means that the brighter areas on the image get more bright and the darker areas get more dark. And this really nicely brings out the different shades of gray in the moon and kind of emphasizes the darker ones and the brighter ones. And if you don't have the curves tool in your photo processing software, you can simply increase the contrast a little, and that should give you pretty similar results. Clicking to the next image, this shows you the previously cropped picture with the curves tool applied, and well, it'll give you an impression on the darker areas of the moon getting more dark and the brighter ones getting a bit more bright. Now let's go on to the next image, and here you can see a massive difference. I have applied sharpening to that image. You shouldn't apply sharpening unless you have the final size of the image. It should be the last step after resizing and doing everything else to the image. In this case, I used the unsharp mask tool, and I used fairly drastic settings of, I think, 400%, 0.3 pixels and zero for the threshold. But for every image you do sharpening on, you should really try what works for the picture. It's really different for every single picture. Give that a try. And this is just the simple version. You could do that much more sophisticated. There are many other methods of sharpening, but for the ease of this, I'm just using regular unsharp mask. And you can see that it really brings out nicely the craters on the side of the moon, and also the lines on the moon are emphasized, and I pushed that up to a point where it didn't feel too artificial to me. Sometimes if you sharpen images, you can run into a situation where it really looks over-sharpened and looks very digital. But for this type of a picture, I found that I can go fairly high values and fairly drastic values without really getting an issue. Now, clicking on the next picture. Okay, here's my last bit of post-processing that I am usually doing, and that is to add a white frame on the gallery with a white background. You can't really see the white frame. And my copyright notice. And again, as I mentioned in one of the previous shows, the copyright notice won't really prevent anyone from stealing the image. But what it'll do is it'll at least tell people that, hey, this was Christoph Marquardt taking the picture. And this way, yeah, it just helps to increase the, the recognition value. Okay, now let's go to something a bit more difficult. And that is post-processing an image of a starlit sky. Now, on the first one, the original image, you can see the Big Dipper in the sky. You can see a tree line and a bit of a greenish light coming in from the back. Now, I've taken that with, I think, 20-second exposure and I think the aperture was fairly wide open. I didn't get the focus exactly right, but you'll see in the next picture that when cropping and downsizing it, it'll help making the focus look better. So on the next picture, I also chose to crop this image just to give it a bit more of a well, I wanted to put the Big Dipper more to the left top, and I didn't want to have the whole tree line in it, but I like the part where the green light comes up, even though we'll change that later on. So yeah, here's the crop. Now going to the next image. Again, I'm using the curves tool. In this case, I use it to increase the brightness to bring out the tree line and the stars. And if you don't have a curves tool in your software, you can increase the brightness and you will get a very similar result to that. Now clicking on the next image, the curves tool applied. Now you'll see that now you're really getting more stars and you're getting more of that light shining in from behind the trees. And that light from behind the trees, I think, must have been some street lights far away, but they were bright enough to register on the picture. And that was actually good because it helped me to get the tree line in there. Now, you see the tree line being very steady, not blurred or anything. And that's because there was no wind back when I took that picture. If there would have been wind, you would have seen a blurred tree line here, just for the reason that within those 20 seconds exposure, the trees would have moved. Anyway, one of the things that I don't really like about the picture is actually the greenish color, because it doesn't feel right. A night sky, as I remembered it, was more of a bluish cast. And well, the camera picked up those greenish lights, and I think those were probably, street lights, and sometimes those can have that greenish cast, especially when you do long exposures at night. So let's go to the next image, and I'm going to do a bit of cheating here. I've looked through a couple of coloring options and ended up using the hue saturation tool in Photoshop to give the whole picture a more of a bluish cast. Now, this is a bit of cheating, but this way it looks much more like I remember it, so maybe it's not as much cheating, actually. I'm using the colorize option. I chose a hue that would give me the required bluish cast. I increased the saturation of the blue a bit. And here we are on the next picture where the whole thing, looks much more like I remember it to have looked. Now, be careful with the coloring and with the curves and with the brightness changes, because those night images, especially when taken with a bit of a higher ISO, tend to be quite noisy. But in this case, it worked out okay. It's not as noise-free as I would have liked it to be, but I had to go, I think, ISO 800 for that, just, or even 1600, just in order to get enough light into the camera for the stars to register. Now, here comes the real nice bit. If you look at that star picture, you can see a lot of stars. But if you sharpen that, now click on the next picture, by applying, again, a fairly drastic amount of unsharp mask, you can see that the number of stars you suddenly see has at least doubled. And that's, I think one of the most important tips that I can give you here. When you do astrophotography, star photography, night sky photography, try the sharpening and don't be afraid to use drastic settings and high percentage values for the sharpening, as long as you don't make the picture look artificial. Some of those pictures can really benefit a lot from using a lot of sharpening. And now, last but not least, the last picture is the same again, just with my signature frame and the copyright applied. And that was it for post-processing astrophotography images. Well, and that was it for today's Tips from the Top Floor. Make sure to visit the website at tipsfromthetopfloor.com. There's so much cool stuff out there, you'll be surprised. If you have feedback or questions, the forum is where you want to go. There's a slightly crazy but very nice crowd hanging out there, and that includes me, by the way, and you're definitely gonna get some answers there. I'd be also happy if you could give the show a rating on Yahoo Podcasts. The link is in the show notes, and if you didn't submit an image to the silence assignment yet, you have just 4 more days left, so hurry up. This was Chris Marquardt podcasting from the top floor at Tübingen, Southern Germany. Have a great rest of the week, and talk to you again on Friday. Happy shooting!